We're going to part number five. It's going to be the Church of Sardis. Last week, you have heard from Pastor Allen, and I thank him for really taking the pulpit and sharing in the revelation of the church that he's done. And I know it was the spirit of Jezebel. If you were not here about that message that he preached on, please listen to it online. And I do thank you for that, Pastor Allen, for sharing from God's word last week. You're always there at the time that we need you, and we're just grateful for that, Pastor Allen. This morning message is about wake up, church. Wake up. Don't fall asleep in church. Don't fall asleep. So this is what we're going to be looking at. Wake up. Be alert. The Church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. We know that the book of Revelation is the unveiling Jesus in all of his glory. He had conquered death. He had conquered sin, death, and hell. And all who follow him, all who has Jesus as a personal Savior, share in that victory. The messages of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is Jesus' messages for the churches and also for the churches of today. It is for me and you. In Revelation 3, 6, we know through all the churches, there's a specific word and specific verse that is for you and I. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The church, this church that we'll be talking today about, is a dead church. Ooh, that's pretty powerful, a dead church. And that is Jesus saying that you are dead. You're not alive. So this is about a dead church that we're going to be looking at, that Jesus pronounced it, like that he said there's no heartbeat, it's a dead church. In our Christian walk, we have encountered people that say things like this about a dead church, or this is a dead church, or I went to a dead church. It was no Spirit of God in that place. It is dead, completely dead. But the Church of Sardis, this church, Jesus said, it is a dead church. Now, do you remember the story, this movie called Sister Act 1 and Sister Act 2? We watched that movie a couple of times, and we see this Whoopi, she's there, and you know the story of her, but now she has this choir. But from the outside of this St. Paul Catholic Church, it is the most deadest church you can find. It was rot, it was run down, it was dead, it was no life in itself in around that area there. Nobody wanted to enter in that place. But all of a sudden, when the Swoopy started to starting to do her choir and her singing and all that stuff, there was life that was happening inside that church. The outside was dead, but the inside there was life. Gangs started to come in, prostitutes started to come in, people from all over the community started to come in, and to hear her singing with us, certain, all those nuns singing, "Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed." You know that song? And then when you're just singing it and we're getting excited, "Oh, happy day." So there was life inside there, but it was dead from the outside. But the Church of Sardis is the opposite. There was a good reputation from the outside. It had a name, but Jesus said, "You are dead." It was the completely opposite of the St. Catholic Church and completely opposite of many churches that you and I know. We have some rundown churches from the outside, and it looks dead. You're even afraid to get close, but once you're inside, there is life. It's alive. And the opposite, there have these mega churches. They look good from the outside, but there is no life from the inside. Jesus looks at the heart. Man looks at the outside of a person, but Jesus looks at the heart. And Jesus is looking at the heart of New Hope Christian Assembly. He does not want to see a dead church. He wants to see a church that is on fire for God, a church that does the mission, the Great Commission, what God has called us to do. That's it's a church that is life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we want to be in a church where there is fire. We want to be in a church where there is life, that when you encounter the Holy Spirit, there's breakthroughs that happen, there's healings that happen, because there is life in that church. And we're going to look at the Church of Sardis today. We want us to listen, pay attention, remember through this while I'm sharing from God's word, that person, that word came from God to you, just be ready. God is going to do something great in your life. So this church, Revelation 3, 1 and 6. Now I'm calmed down. My watch is telling me to calm down, so I'm back here. The letter to Sardis. May the Lord add another blessing to His word and let us pay attention to what the word of God is telling us this morning. Write to the angel of the church of Sardis, in Sardis. And we know that John is in prison, he's far away, and Jesus speaks to him to write these letters. Write to the angel, the messenger of the church in Sardis. So the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen. What remains is about to die. For I have not found, here's the key word, we're going to look at it later on, for I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. But if you are not alert, I will come like a thief. And you have no idea what hour and why will come against you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes. And they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. And in the same way, the victor is you and I, will be dressed in white clothes. And I will never erase his name from the book. Thank the Lord that he doesn't have dementia, because he will never erase your name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. So anyone who has an ear shall listen to what the Spirit says to the church. This is what happened to the church of Sardis, but it can also happen in the 21st century. We can have churches who are alive from the outside, but dead from the inside. And Jesus is saying, if you're not alive inside, I'm going to come like a thief. I'm going to come and take you and rip you away from it. And that's not, we're going to take you away from it. And that's what we want. So stats. I'm going to give you some stats from Hartford Institute of Religious Research. The church doors that have closed in the USA, 4,000 to 7,000 churches close their doors each year. That is a lot of doors. Did you hear that? 4,000 to 7,000 churches close their doors each year in the USA. That is a high stat. What does that tell you? They are dead inside. We look at Ephesus. We looked at the letter of Ephesus. We all knew that they, by their works, but they have left what? Their first love. And Jesus said to repent. If you look back in the letter of Ephesus, repent or I will blow out the light from the candlestick. So he encouraged the church by repenting and renewing their first love with them first. And we looked at that. Then we go to Smyrna. Persecuted church. These words were the words, they have excellent words, they had courage, they held firm, they were faithful, but it says you will face persecution. The devil will cast you into a prison, but Jesus encourages them to remain strong and be faithful. Then Pergamum, he spoke to a compromising church, and we've looked at that. Don't compromise the word. Don't compromise what is lie, is sin. Stand firm. Don't you ever turn to your left or your right, but stand firm on the word of God. He says, if you don't repent, and says, some of you in the church is saying, some of you are still holding on to the doctrine of Balaam. He says, and then he gives him a prescription. He says, therefore repent, otherwise I will come to you quickly and fight against them with my sword of my mouth. The Jesus will come and he will judge you if you are compromising the word, if you're compromising sin, if you play with sin and you say it's okay. No one sees it, but God allows it. Oh, be ready, because Jesus will come with a sword of, he will come out of his mouth and he will judge you. And then we know the next church, Pastor Allen spoke last week, and that was, and then the Pergamum, and let me finish there, and it says, and for the one who holds strong and fights this and repents, he will give him the victor, the hidden man, and the white stone. And on the white stone you have a new name, and we've heard that last 2 weeks ago we spoke about. Then the next church, a spirit of Jezebel spirit, the church of Tetereia. And we see that Pastor Alan spoke about this. And I know he must have shared something from the Word. And I heard comments that saying it was an awesome message of God used him in a mighty way last Sunday to go against the spirit of Jezebel. And no, we see that. And then he also says this in the spirit of Jezebel, that church there. What did he tell us that church there? Now, I want to just go recap on some things. I'm not preaching is the word that he shared. But he says, I know your works, your love, your faithfulness, your service and endurance. But I have this against you, tolerate the woman Jezebel. So we should not tolerate the woman Jezebel. We should not tolerate this spirit that comes and manipulates, that comes and takes control, that comes with pornography, that comes with all kinds of the sin that tries to break the church of God. He says, repent. And I say to you, repent and go to the Lord. And go to the Lord. The one who is victorious keeps my works to the end, and I will give him the authority over all the nations. Now I just give you some of the verses in that area, but just go back and listen to the message of what Pastor Alan shared last week. And now we arrive to the church of Sardis, the letter to Sardis. Again, we're saying the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars say this. In verse 1, I know your works. You have a good reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Now the question is, who is that seven spirits of God? You ever ask those questions? What is the seven spirits of God? What is the seven stars? Let's look at the seven stars is the leaders. And the leaders, we can later on, we see in the previous chapter and verses, you will see the seven stars are the leaders. Thank God that Jesus holds the leaders in his right hand. Thank God that he holds my hand. He holds me in there. But now, who is the seven spirits of God? We know the number seven. What's this number seven that we're looking at here, what he's holding in his hand. And we know holding in this hand the seven spirits of God is the completion, is the expression of the completion aspect, the completeness of perfection. And Jesus holding the fullness of the Spirit. But if you look even in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, I don't have it up there, but we see we shoot from the stump of Jesse, of a branch with his roots for bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven is a completion, the completeness, the perfection. Jesus holding the fullness of the Spirit that is so vital and extremely important for a church needing life. Without the Spirit of God in the life of a church, it is dead. And one of my points is we cannot put time on the Holy Spirit. If we put time on the Holy Spirit, it is a dead church. We pray for revivals. We pray for God to move. We pray for God to heal. And then when he starts to move, we set a time. Not this time, God. I got to go. My roast chicken is ready. No, that's the Spirit of God. Where there is the Spirit of God, there is freedom. So the church of Sardis, in Sardis, there is no spiritual life. It's dead. There's no breath. Yes, there was activity around, but no life. So he's talking to this church and needing for a revival, that every church of God needs a revival. In today's age, in the 21st century, we all need a revival of God that come down in a mighty way. Aren't you hungry for souls? Aren't you hungry to see your children serving God? Aren't you hungry to see your grandchildren serving God? Aren't you hungry to see them coming to Jesus Christ week after week and getting baptized and getting baptized in water, getting baptized with the Holy Spirit? Don't you want that? So how hungry are we for that? So he answered this in Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord. It's not by strength or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is only by the Spirit of God things happen. It is only by the Spirit of God lives are healed and transformed. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. So this church in Sardis had a good reputation, but it was dead from the inside. And we're going to be looking what kills a church this morning. What kills a church? That's what we're going to be looking at through this. I'm not going to go through all the verses. I'm just going to go, what kills a church? So revival, it must start with the pastor, with the leaders, with the church itself. Pray for your pastor. Don't sit around the table and criticize him. Pray for your pastor. Uplift him in prayer daily. He needs a revival from God. It must start from the leaders of the church. Pray for the Pastor Allen. Pray for the pastor, for Pastor Catherine, and all over and all across the world. Pray for revival that would happen in her life first. I need a revival in my life. And you need a revival. And the only way revival comes where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where He's running, where the Spirit of God is in the midst. But let's church, let's not. The days are getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Anyone who has an ear, listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I need your prayers more than critics. I need your uplifting more than slanders. I need more of your prayer and your support day in and day out to lead the church of God. It's not my church. Jesus says, I will build the church. It's not my church. I am called to do what God has called me to do. So people of God, please, I encourage you to pray for your leaders. Uplift them in prayer. Let's start changing our words of our mouth that comes out of our mouth instead of slander, but pray. And revival will come. Revival will come. Do you want to see revival? I don't want to be a dead church. Jesus, just as churches are dying, preachers are leaving the ministry. Did you ever look at the stats how many preachers leave? 1,500 pastors left the ministry every month last year. Are you looking at those stats? Why? Because we're being bombarded with slander and criticism instead of uplifting them in prayer. No, Church of God. Pray for the pastors who lead the Church of God. Even the one, Pastor Catherine, take a moment, even if it's a second, but pray that God would just move on their life and all the leaders of the church and then every single one of our church. But pray and believe that God would do something good. Let me give you some history on Sardis. The city of Sardis was known in the ancient world. The city of Sardis was located on a narrow plateau 1,500 feet above sea level, where they were known for its beauty, its rich, and its powerful. Also, Sardis had become famous in their abilities in arts and in crafts. They have lavish use of local brightly colored and semi-precious stones. No one could have touched them because they were high away, and they had an upper hand when they wanted to fight because they were higher than everyone else and they were powerful in that way. This is the church of Sardis and the city where it was at. It was a redoubtable city, a good city, a powerful city, but underneath was a weakness. They were arrogant. Oh, how many arrogant people do we know? They were arrogant because they had better than others. They thought they had it better than others. However, the church was a lot like the city. The church of Sardis was a lot like the city. That they had a name, a great reputation, but they were alive. That everybody knew them as a good church from the outside, but the inside it was dead. Why? Because the Spirit of God was no longer there. The power of God was no longer there. There was no life. No life of God was no longer in that place, in that church there. And the Bible tells us, Revelation 3:2, it says, be alert, be awake. Be awake and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. In other words, you're doing things. If you are doing it, you're not doing it for me. Everything is working well. Programs are doing well. Your programs are top notch. Your programs are excellent. But Jesus said you are dead. You can have all the programs you have in a church, but if there is no Spirit of God, it's dead. There's no life. So here's that kind of church. Had all its beauty, but it was dead within the church. Be alert and be strengthened what remains, for I have not found your works complete before my God. Talking about the mission, the great commission of the church. What is the mission of the church? What is the mission of Jesus Christ? The first thing is to exalt Christ to worship. Worshippers of Jesus Christ. That is one of our mission for us, to exalt Christ to worship. To proclaim the gospel, to make disciples of all kinds. And you find out in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. The church is to glorify God by proclaiming the gospel to the lost. It's not to the healthy. It's to the lost. It's to the sick. We are called to preach the word to the community. We are not called to be tickled inside the church and to feel comfortable and warm. We are called for the community to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that person, that young child, that mother, that father can experience the same love that you and I experienced. We are called for that, to exalt Christ in that way, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second is by making disciples. Christ-like disciples who love God and one another. The purpose of the church is to equip even the saints and to go out and preach the word. Then evangelize to the word. Preach the gospel to the whole wide world. And we have people all over the world. Sometimes we go. Sometimes we go to Jamaica, we can preach. Sometimes we go to Serbia. Sometimes we go to Uganda. But we're preaching the word wherever we go, all over the world. We're going to preach the gospel. So why do we do that? It's because we want to get a medal on our shoulder? No, because it's obedient to what God is trying to tell us. Go and preach the word to all over the world. It's not to get a medal. It's to do what we're called to do and be obedient to the word of God. If he tells us to go preach the word to Hope Mission, we go to Hope Mission. And thank God that this church responded to that call. When Pastor Allen said, we need individuals, we need volunteers, we need testimonies, we need people to preach and sing at the Hope Mission. And guess what? We responded. And that's good. God will reward us for that. God will reward you for that. Because you're being obedient to what God is telling us to do. So here it is that we're going to look at this morning. How can you know if a church is dying or dead? There's many ways you can look at things, but I'm going to bring out briefly a few. The first thing is this. I know someone might say, praise the Lord, I'm just bringing a few. The first one, they focus on the past, not the future. If you and I always focus on the past, we will die. Now, I want to see you carrying that first cell phone that came out today. I guarantee you, you wouldn't carry it on the road. It's still a phone. It works. We didn't change the phone. It's a phone. It still communicates. But if you're going to carry that phone all the time with you, you won't look good anymore. It's passé. It's old. The past is gone. We're in the present. And we've got to look at the future. How many of you are still looking and wearing what you were 20 years ago? Are you wearing that?
No.
How many of you are still putting the hair that looks like a turkey, the woman that looks to put the hair like this? Come on, do it. You're not doing it. Why? That's past. I remember MC Hammer. I loved MC Hammer. Dun, 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 dun. Can't touch this. Dun, dun, dun. If I'm going to start singing that today, they'll laugh at me. It's past. It's gone. So if we, the church, always look at the past, and there's some churches that always look at the past leaders, and he's like an idol, let me tell you something, this church will die if we'll do that. We got to look at the future. We got to look what God has entitled for us, what God has prepared in this place for us. I'm not condemning the past. I'm not condemning the ex-pastors, the former pastors. No, I'm not doing that. It was good for that time, but today is a new time, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Are you with me this morning? forget about the past. Because if we're just always thinking about the past and the past and the past, no, we used to do this. Don't touch this thing anymore. Oh, don't touch the microphone anymore. We used to do it that way. Church, come on. It's past. Today's a new day. That's a dying church if we always focus about the past. Our church is always looking at the rearview mirror. How could you always drive and you always guarantee you're going to hit? And it's the same with the church of God. That's why we have a windshield. Look front. Look ahead. Because greater things are coming. Greater things are coming to the church of God. Church of God, are you with me this morning? Forget about the past. Write it down and say, God was faithful there. Oh, but I know in the future God is even faithful again. And He will do great things even today. I enjoy history. I look what God has done in my life. I look at this and I remember all the things that I've done. And you could do the same thing. What God has done in your life. And you say, wow, it was amazing. I even preached at that time. And I said, wow, I remember that time. The altar was filled with people crying at the altar, seeking God. And their tears falling down from their cheek to the altar. And if it was silent that place, you would hear the drops. You would see people cry. Today, it's past. I remember those days, but I want to happen again today. I don't want to dwell on the past. I want to dwell on the present, and I want to dwell on the future. What greater things what God is going to do. Instead of having 10 people at the altar, we'll have 100 people at the altar crying and seeking for the power of God upon their life. But let's not just always say the past. It's good to remember. And I loved it of all the things that God has done for me in the past. And we can say stories, and you can say stories yourself. I remember I put my hand on someone and restored, and their eyes were just open, and they weren't even blind anymore. I put my hands on the ears, and they could have been, and they heard, they had sound. But that's history. I want it to happen today. I want it to happen tomorrow. I want it to happen again and again and again. Let's not just look at the past. It's good about the history. But let's remember one thing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He has healed in the past, He is healing today. But not the word past be on your mind all the time. And there are churches that way. And a church that is that way is going to die. Living things grow. And living things grow constantly. Dead things decompose. And it smells. Everything there's alive, there is life. Are you with me this morning? If we're dead, we're going to smell. But if we're alive, there's life constantly happening in our lives and in the church of God. Because now we're focusing on the life of Jesus Christ. We're focusing on that. You can get a tree. You can have a nice tree, beautiful leaves, there is life. You can get another tree, there is no life inside. It's worthless. It's dead. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, so these trees need rain. So if this tree takes rain, there is life. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is life. When the rain of the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, comes upon the people of God, there is life. So if we're going to always hold on to the past, but not looking ahead, we're going to die. And I'm not going to be in a church that we're going to die. I'm going to be in a church, and I pray that all of us are going to be in a church that's going to grow for the glory of God. You know, sometimes we might hear some rumors. People might say this to you or to me, and they said it. Pastor, you're just looking for a mega church. Pastor, you're just looking for numbers. Let me tell you something about numbers for me. There's a soul, there's a life about that number. I don't care how they come in, but they can have the greatest experience in coming in and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Isn't that the ultimate goal? To allow them to experience Christ? Numbers are important for me, yes. But spiritual numbers are even greater important for me. Number two. How can you know if a church is dying or dead? So we saw the past. The second was there is more concerned about programs than life itself. And you and I know there's churches that will always look about programs and programs and programs and programs. They're full financial things go on programs. You and I know churches like that. It's okay to have programs. I'm not condemning out programs. But if we are worried more about programs than life itself, Jesus Christ, we have a problem. Because Jesus Christ comes first in the church of God. And where there's Jesus, there is life. You can have all the programs you want and you forget Jesus. You put them for 5 minutes the whole month. There is no life. It's dead. So you need more about life itself, and that is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, instead of programs. When a church is more concerned about programs and putting all the effort in on the operational part, when a church is concerned about the function of a church, when a church is doing everything to the program, that when we never change, we would never change if everything is going on a program. When a church says that we're not changing the way we are, it's because that's the way we are, and that's who we are, that church is going to die. We just showed an illustration here. You're not wearing the same underwear as you were wearing 20 years ago. You changed that. Why? Because it's old. It's passé. You need new. So there are some churches that say, don't you touch this mic. It's 20 years is there. And I know who put that red tape there. Don't you touch it. Oh, pastor, you know, we had couples meetings twice a month. But if you have one couple that comes, delete that button and create something new. Why do we have a delete button? Why do we have a backspace button and a forward button? Because at times, if it's not working, you delete. God's not going to punish you if you delete. Now you pray for more creativity. And you pray for discernment and for wisdom. To God give us another way to do another program that more people will reach. So when we hear churches say, don't you touch that, it scares me. Because they're not fully understanding what we're called to do. We're holding on to possession more than life itself. This will go. I can change it, and I guarantee you I have 20 people after me. You know, I'm sharing from my heart. This is nothing for me, but as a soul that counts for the kingdom of God. Let me go back to the program here, because I was getting a little bit excited. People also complain about the music. Pastor, like myself, at times I say, if I'm going to sing this song to you, some of us, I never experienced it 3 weeks ago. None of you knew the song. I was a soloist up here. So I used to sing this song all the time. Let him breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. If I'm going to sing that today, generation, who's breathing on me? People don't understand that. It was good for me at that time. It blessed my heart at that time. But the language must be changed. We got to sing different songs to get your children, to get my children. If I'm going to start singing, let him breathe on me, my kid's going to say, you don't understand. It's a new generation today. Church, it's not about you. It's about the next generation. So there's things that we must change to make room for the next generation. Let me tell you something. If you look up and you see all gray hair, we have a problem. Or we have no hair, we have a problem. Where are the young ones? So if it's not working here, why do we have to hold on to that program? Why do we have to hold on to the past? No, we can't. We must forge ahead. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will use anything to get the word across to individuals. I remember this in Fob Street Church. I hope you're watching. But Fob Street Church, we had a board meeting where 9 individuals in that board meeting. 9 individuals plus 3 pastors. And I will never forget that day. You remember those times that we had the projectors? It was like a slide. Remember those times? Put it there and crooked and everybody was like this. But we were still worshiping God, okay? But I remember the pastor shared this and he said, "Brothers, we need to get this new system that came out called projectors." One brother stood up. He goes, "This is a sin, brother. Nope. I can't work with this. I vote against it." I will never forget that. "I vote against it." He says, "I'm voting against this. No, I'm not spending money on that projector." "For what?" The pastor responded to him, "The reason why you don't want the projector is because you don't sing itself. You don't sing at all. That's why you don't need that." But he goes, "The next generation that comes in, why make it easier for a next generation that comes in? Make it easier for someone that don't know the song that can actually read. Make it easier. Technology changes every day. Why not change it?" And let me tell you something. We are behind on a lot of things in this church. We are 15 years behind. I'm telling you right now. There's churches out there. I'm not saying that this is going to save souls. But it's giving us an opportunity for someone to not carry the Bible and can actually read the Word of God from the screen. And can touch someone's life completely and heal that person's life. So there's nothing wrong for that change. But the person's mind was, "No, you can't touch, Pastor." That's what it worked. The slide of the paper on top of it. And we're going to leave it like that. We're not touching it. And that was a close friend of mine who ever said that. So I started laughing at that at the same time. But anyway, just to say, we argue for stupidities as long as we don't change the word. As long as we don't compromise the Word of God. But we're just going to find different methods, different ways to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the ultimate thing at the end? So they're more concerned about programs than life itself. We need a change to reach the new generation. Why do we do that? We can use technology to bring the gospel of Christ. We are about reaching people. Dead churches are stuck in the past. We change things that are near to you. Don't touch our ministry. We know we do. We examine it. We check it. We examine it. We pray. If it's not working, hit the delete button. There's nothing wrong in doing that. I know it's going to be hard for some people, but it's nothing hard to delete some stuff. Because I guarantee you there's things in your home you must have deleted. There's just things in your house yourself. You must have said, "This is old. I must move this out and put something new." We do that at home, am I right? So why can't we do it in the kingdom of God? Why can't we do it in the church? Why do we hold on to something? It's mine. No, don't touch it. It's the pastor's fingerprints here. Leave it there. Don't touch. It's anointed. No. I'm having fun at the same time and being humorous so we hear, but I'm trying to get the point across. Next, number 3. Dying churches love more their traditions than Jesus Christ. That's pretty hard. You see churches that love their traditions. I love traditions. I love Christmas. I love Easter. I love Thanksgiving. All that stuff there. And I have a good time with my family. Traditions are good. You love traditions? You love Christmas, you all that stuff. It's a tradition, and it's good to remember these tradition things. But there's some people that love traditions even in the things of church. Hold on to whatever it is. We used to do it this way. And we know some churches, they're so beautiful. We visit some churches in Serbia. Weren't they beautiful when we visit? Who was there? Weren't they beautiful structure inside, nice, beautiful, nice, traditional stuff? But it was no life inside. It was dead. That's what happens when we hold on to tradition stuff. You become dead. It's just Masonic, like something nice, a beautiful thing. It's a museum that you can come in and watch and look. But there's no life inside. There is dead. And I don't want Jesus to come in and blow the candle away. He's like, out. He's going to come like a thief and take you away. Do you want that? I don't want that. No. Love your traditions more than the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, people who want more formality, that there is no freedom. When people want more formality, there is no freedom. But it says, we said it many times today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. There is life. In a church where there is freedom, a church where there's a Spirit, there is life in it. Welcoming church is a church that is alive. As a young pastor, and even today, after 26 years, I'm serving in the Lord in this capacity, in and out of full-time services and also evangelistic services, sermons, serving in that capacity, I was totally shocked when I hear people say, I don't want the church to grow. It shocks me when you hear words that way. No. Why? Because when the church grows, we need to change things. And people don't like change. People don't like change. No, don't touch. Pastor, if the church grows, Audrey's not sitting there no more, because the church is going to grow. And Audrey's going to probably come one day 5 minutes late and, oh man, she has to sit here now because someone is sitting there. When the church grows, there's change and it hurts. But I'm totally shocked. And I'm also concerned when I hear people within the church walls saying, I don't want a church to grow. That's not the church we want to be. We want to be a church that grows, that welcomes everybody, the sick, the poor, any person that comes in here are welcomed. And if you have to, make room for that person and make them sit there in that spot of yours so they can experience the love of Jesus Christ the way you and I experience that love. We exist, New Hope, for people that are not here. We exist for them, people outside the walls of this church. When we live selfishly rather than loving people, that's when we start dying as a church. So examine yourselves. Let's be a welcoming church. We always look for ways to bring people to Christ, people to Jesus. You know, I mean, I'm mind-boggling for myself. I know I'm going a little bit out of a bit more time than usually, but I'm impressed and shocked and happy and encouraged when I hear Don Melanson going Kijiji and looking out for people that needs prayer. Could you? How many of you look at you? You look at Kijiji for a sofa or TV. He looks for souls. He's looking there. Anybody who's looking for prayer. There's people out there going, Kijiji, I'm looking for a pastor. I'm looking for prayer. I'm looking for a part. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for answers. And he does that. It's just mind-boggling for me to hear that. I heard that. The only time I heard it is when I came here. I never heard of that before. Kijiji, I didn't even know it existed before. But just to think about it, isn't that impressive? Why? It's about souls. It's about a broken heart. And that broken heart can be your son, your daughter, your spouse, your father, your mother, whatever it is, that you don't even know, maybe searching out for something on Kijiji. And all of a sudden, this guy who's being obedient to God, www.kijiji.com, Edmonton, and you find something like that. Isn't that amazing? I'm not trying to put him up here. I'm just trying to tell you, our heart must be for the lost. So don't come and try to hold on to the past and say, Pastor, don't touch this, please. It's going to hurt. Don't worry. It's going to hurt you for a bit. It's okay. Leave it. make room, because God's going to do something greater. I want to see the church of God vibrant and exciting, and excitement in this place that people accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Church is about Jesus, and it's not about anybody else. It's just about Him. He is the head of the church, and if there is no head in the life, there is no life. If we remove the head, Jesus, in the house, there is no life in this house. So Jesus is the head of this household. And we're going to be obedient to what Jesus is telling us to be. Another sign of a dying church is when we are concerned about more material aspect than the spiritual aspect of it. When we are concerned about our offering, our membership. Oh, is that a membership guy? All those things are important. But if we're more concerned about our membership than the spiritual aspect of a person, if we're more concerned more about how much that person gives or how much did that person give their life to Christ, that's a different thing, my brothers and sisters. You should be concerned if your name is written in the book of life. Not in the book of the New Hope Christian Assembly. It's about life. And a church is dead if we exist for ourselves, where there is no mission, where there's no vision, and there's no passion in the church. When we show up in church only when we feel like it, there is death in the church. And we don't even care if the church lives or dies. Oh, a person that shows up once a year or four times a year in a church, that's a church that is going to die. Church of God, remain faithful. Another four. What kills the church where there is no functional prayer gatherings? We do have once a month prayer gathering here. We do have every Saturday night prayer, intercessory prayer on Saturday nights that we hear. But if we don't pray, it's a dying church. You know, Pastor, I pray at home, okay? I'm not doubting on that. We all pray at home. But there's time for corporate prayer, for brothers and sisters to get together. What does it tell us in Acts chapter 2? You want to read that? And devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of the bread into what? Prayers. All themselves and they all together as a corporate. We need to spend time in prayer. So if there is no prayer in a service, if there is no prayer in the week, there's a dying church. And there's churches out there, let me tell you something, they rather focus on the program and a minute extra and a minute less, and they forget about praying. I have seen and I have heard even churches, we don't want to be that way. I have seen and heard my own eyes, the churches without even praying. Does it make any sense? If we remove prayer, we're a dying church. We might look good from the outside. Everybody's saying, that's a beautiful church. I want to go to that church. But once you're in, you're actually in a dead church. And that's what Jesus is saying to this church of Sardis. You're known by its name from the outside, but you're dead. I don't care if someone would tell me this, but if Jesus says this, it hurts. And we should really reflect and think and really examine ourselves and reevaluate ourselves if we are a church that prays. And if you go on in that there, that was Acts 2:42. Next point. So a dying church is when we put time on the Holy Spirit. We put time, a set of time on the Holy spirit. That's a dying church or going to a dead church. It's going to die. If you're going to put the time on the Holy Spirit, if your church is more important than the move of the Holy Spirit, we have a problem. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is healing. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is transformation. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is what? People being transformed by the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work. It's not you and I. So I'm a person like this, and I encourage we all do it. Don't follow me. Just do what I do, okay? Don't follow me, but do what I do. Get what I'm saying? No, you don't get it. Okay. When the Spirit of God is in this place, let's not just look. Just spectators. Just, wow, it's amazing. But be involved in it. And draw from it. Get it. No, don't give it to Twilight. Give it to me, Lord. Send it on me. I want it more. And when we're all hungry that way, what happens? Revival happens. And what happens when we're all together? When we're all together in one place. Next chapter. Next slide, please. What happens? When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violent rushing wind came from heaven. And it filled the house. Whole house. Where they were staying with tongues like flames of fire. And they were divided. Appeared to them and rested on each one of them. All together were seeking for the same thing. Don't be a spectator, but just look and say, wow, there's the move of the Spirit. I want it more. I want it more, Lord. And when you do that, you'll see God's going to move. So a dying church is when we put time on the Holy Spirit. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes, church, we need the power of God. So where there is no God's divine intervention in a church, it can be a sign that a church is dead or dying. Jesus said to the church in Sardis, your reputation is awesome and alive. You have a good image, but you are dead. May God help us, New Hope Christian Assembly, to always stay alive. Never remove the power of the Holy Spirit. Never remove the prayer gatherings. Focus on the future. Let go of the traditions. Let go of the past. Appreciate it. But look, the best is yet to come in New Hope Christian Assembly. Are you with me this morning? And here it tells us this. Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us this. Wake up. And strengthen what remains is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Come alive again. Life again. Life again in our lives. Life again in our church, Lord. We need more of you in our churches. Like dead churches and dead people, they can live again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? He says, strengthen what remains and remember me. Remember the truth. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remember and you would come alive again. And here it is in Revelation 3 verse 5. Chapter 3 verse 5. In the same way, the victor, that's you and I. Are you with me? You and I, the victor, will be dressed in white clothes. I'm just imagining in heaven we're going to all have our white clothes. All of us, pure, purity, holy. And I will never erase the name from the book of life. Hallelujah. This is what I want to tell you. Is your name written in the book of life? You know, I will always say that and I will always preach it. I don't care what size of a church is, but I'll always say it. Is your name written in the book of life? Have you really accepted Jesus Christ in your life? If not, today can be the day. to the victors. Yes, you and me will be dressed in white clothes. Symbolize victory, purity. And when we get to heaven, you know, someone says, when we get to heaven, there'll be a whiteout. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing songs and hymns that many of you like, the past hymns. When we all get to heaven, what a day I rejoice. I can be singing that song, but someone else can be singing another song. I don't care. We're in heaven now. It's perfection. There's no more problems. There's not going to be any more division. You know, even this point over here, I wanted to tell you, through all my years of ministry, I've seen that even in the music of the church, there has been church splits because of the music, because people wanted to hold on to the, don't touch that song. The church has been split because of that. Because of a song? Because you like? That no one else understands? You like that? I love the hymns. And I sing hymns all day long at home. But I know it's not going to work with this new generation. They have no understanding what is a hymn. So as we stand this morning, and the musicians come forward as we stand, I want to bring it to a conclusion this morning. I know it's a little bit overdue and it's past the time this morning. Can you give the Lord 5 minutes? Are you with me this morning? Can you just give Him 5 minutes? New Hope Christian Assembly, we must come alive again. Remain faithful. We want to be a church that is alive, not a dying church or a dead church. Are you with me? A dead church will put time on the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song together. We're going to sing it together in unity. Just remember, let it be the day of Pentecost. Let it be that day of Pentecost. And all together with one voice, one heart, we're going to sing together. And we're going to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in a mighty way. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives more than ever. If you're here for the first time, if your name is not written in the book of life, I encourage you to accept Him and let that name be written in the book of life. To the victors, as you and I, clothed in white and in the presence of the Lord, forever sealed with Him. So you might be saying today, yes, I was drying up. Yes, I was letting go of the things. But this morning, as we're going to sing this song together, a couple of things I want to do. First of all, the altar is always open. We're not going to set time on the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Him to move in a mighty way. But if you're a person here this morning and you said, I need more of you, Holy Spirit, I'm going to take this 5 minutes, whatever it is, Lord, this 10 minutes, whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to just give it all to you. And you tell Him, move in a mighty way my life. You will see what God will do in your life this morning. So as we sing this together, the altars are open. Don't you set time for the Holy Spirit. Don't you set time for Him. Come and pray. Come and seek His face. If you have to kneel, you kneel. If you have to bow before Him, you bow before Him. If you have to kneel in your pew, kneel in the pew. But let this place be a house of prayer filled with the Spirit of God. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is healing. There is transformation. There is breakthroughs. Amen? So as soon as they sing, do what you have to do and seek the face of God this morning.